Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And the Lord said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I begin my sermon, I'm going to ask Darius to hand out a piece of paper to everybody. We're going to do a spiritual exercise today. You can start it here. And bring the pencil, too. Spiritual exercise today. I'd like to call today's Sunday Give Up a Grudge Sunday. We're going to do a little exercise in forgiveness. Forgiveness that is obviously essential to our Christian way of living. Christ has given to us the very firm instruction that we are to forgive. He actually listed it. He gives it as an imperative. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven in the Sermon on the Mount. So forgive is stated as an imperative. It's a command. And we find that if we follow the commands of Christ, we are liberated. We are set free. This is how whatever command Christ would give to us, we never find that it's to our hurt. It's always to our blessing. And when we actually forgive others their offenses, we will find a blessing in that. We will find that we are liberated to love again. Now, I won't say that forgiving others is easy. In fact, we might say that it's humanly impossible. And that we need to pray that God would give us the ability to forgive others their offenses. You remember that very terse statement from Shakespeare, to err is human, to forgive divine. And so, on the human level, we make mistakes, but to be able to forgive, that is not on the natural order of things, it is on the supernatural order of things. And to forgive another person, that is a demonstration of God's love flowing through us. That's how we can actually put the gospel into practice, to forgive offenses. Life really gets interesting when we start to engage on that level of releasing other people to God and forgiving them totally and entirely of their offenses. Here's where we begin to feel His grace coming into us and through us as we begin to engage with the gospel truth and the love of God that has been imparted to us through Christ. Now we can see that love manifested in the saints. If you look at Saint Stephen, who is the first martyr of the church, when he was being stoned after he had preached the truth to the Sanhedrin and they were furious to hear it, they plugged their ears, they gnashed their teeth, they began to throw rocks at him to stone him to death. As he was being stoned to death, he looked up to heaven and saw and declared, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is there to help and strengthen him in the hour of his trial. And then you see an amazing thing happens when Stephen prays for those who are killing him, and he intercedes for them and says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's grace flowing through him. That is Christ-like love that is coming out of the saint. As he is being killed, he forgives those or prays for the forgiveness of those that are killing him. It is like Christ on the cross, who prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this Christ-like love is manifest in the saints of the church through time. We see it even in our own lives when we are willing to forgive an offense of someone even who has hurt us in a very serious way. Again, I'm not saying that it's easy. In fact, I'll remind us that it's humanly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And remember when Christ laid upon the disciples the injunction that they should forgive others their offenses, or the Father in heaven would not forgive them their offenses? And that even if their brother offended them seven times in the day, they should forgive him each and every time if he asked for forgiveness? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Right, because we need that. We need His grace and strength to come into us to be able to forgive. So, what is humanly impossible with God, all things are possible. Now, we see that in the life of another saint, we can see how forgiveness is woven into his dialogue and how he is already putting into practice the things of the faith. And it's with the Apostle Paul. So, in his second letter to Timothy, And that was in the course reading of the daily office this week, and so instructive to us. He has some housekeeping items in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, where he's telling Timothy the things that need to be tidied up. So he says, do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. So this is a low point. Three of the missionary party have left, only Luke is with him. So he's obviously suffering abandonment and betrayal in his ministry. Of those that he's trusted, they have demonstrated that they were not trustworthy. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichius have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring it with thee. So it's getting cold, winter's coming. Bring my coat, he's saying. And bring the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. St. Paul, someone has done evil to him, and he tells Timothy about it. Now, he's not just rumor-mongering here, trying to, you know, say something bad about Alexander so he'll be less in the eyes of Timothy. No, he's warning Timothy. This guy bit me. Don't get bit by this guy. It's a warning, a solemn warning to him. Watch out for Alexander the coppersmith. He bites. But notice that even as he's telling that warning to Timothy, he's expressing forgiveness for Alexander. Do you catch what he said? Listen again. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. The Lord reward him according to his works. Who's going to take care of Alexander the coppersmith now? Is Paul telling Timothy, when you see Alexander the coppersmith, punch him hard in the solar plexus because he did me evil? No. He's handing Alexander the coppersmith off to God. The Lord rewards him according to his works. He's allowing God to be the judge of that man. He's not going to judge that man. He's not going to be the one to bring vengeance upon Alexander for the evil that was done unto him. He's going to show him mercy. Now think about that. The early church showed Paul mercy. After the stoning of Stephen, when Saul was there, when he later converted and became Paul, when Saul was there holding the coats of them that were stoning Stephen, when he was an instigator, if not in charge of that murder, did the early church then gather up a squad to go and get vengeance for Stephen and go and strike Paul down or Saul down dead? Do they require blood for blood? One of their deacons had been killed. We're going to go and kill him who killed our deacon? We don't hear any of that. We hear the continuous prayers of the church. We hear of the church going out into the world to bring the gospel of the forgiving grace of God to others. And God will take care of that man. And how does God take care of him? He brings him to conversion. Saul converts on the road to Damascus. He has letters of prosecution for those who are for those early Christians that are in Damascus. He's on his way there to as an enforcer of the law. And on the road, he converts. The Lord speaks to his heart, and he becomes then sanctified. We know him as St. Paul. If the early church had killed Saul with a revenge killing, would we ever know St. Paul? But now St. Paul, years later, you see him having received mercy. He is merciful. He shows mercy to Alexander. God will be his judge. And that's something for us to learn from. A lot of people stumble when they come to forgiveness because they don't understand the first part, that they need to pray for grace to be able to forgive, because it's a supernatural thing. They can't do it on their own power. The arm of flesh will fail them. They need supernatural grace to forgive. Secondly, they need to understand that forgiving from the heart means to allow God to be the judge of that person. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We don't have to fill our mind with the ideas of getting back at the person to try and right the scales of justice. The enemy would have us think that way. That's the way the world thinks. Right? Get back at them, get even, give them double. Right? We don't need to fill our minds with that. That's what nursing a grudge is. When a person will not forgive, is refusing to forgive, it's a form of hatred. And if they're nursing a grudge, maybe that expression is helpful to us. You know, a nursing mother, she needs to eat for two because she's feeding the baby. And nursing grudges takes a lot of energy. Right? To keep going back to that, to remember the offense, to, you know. I was talking to somebody the other day, and somebody was rehearsing to her an offense that happened 10 years ago. They brought up the email and read it. For 10 years, they've been remembering a one-line email that was hurtful and offensive. Nursing that takes a lot of energy. We don't have time for that. We're called to love as saints. We're called to bring Christ's love to others. There's no room for nursing grudges. There's no time or energy for that. And so that's the second thing, that God will be the one to take care of them. We don't have to do that. What a relief. We're liberated. We don't have to be the one to bring vengeance. God will do that. So let God be God. We allow him to do his thing. Stay in your lane, right? And that's what we do. That's what St. Paul is doing here. He's not trying to get back at Alexander, not going to put the hit on him. He's going to let God take care of him. Now notice also how forgiveness is woven into his language. At my first answer, verse 16 in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul letting Timothy know how things have been going. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. God will deliver me from every evil work. So he lets Timothy know a bad thing is happening. He's been betrayed and hurt. No one or all forsook him. So when he needed people the most, where were they? They were gone. But the Lord Jesus stood by him. And that's important for us to know too. You may be in a time where you come into a time of trial and everybody around you splits. They're not to be found. They're not strong with you in that time of trial. Fair weather friends. But Jesus will never forsake you. He will be there with you, suffering with you, giving you grace to endure. That's what St. Paul experienced. Now he can tell Timothy about that. You're going into ministry, not going to be easy. When all men forsake you, the Lord Jesus will not forsake you. But notice that he has words of compassion and prayer and intercession for those that forsook him, for those that didn't stand fast by. Did you catch that? He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I pray to God, I intercede for them, that this not be laid to their charge. Not laid to their charge? Where did St. Paul hear that before? He heard it from the martyr Stephen, who cried out as he was being stoned to death, where Paul was the instigator, Lord, lay not this to their charge. He's experienced that love coming into the world. He's now transformed by it. He's now putting it into practice. And we are to do the same. We are to put this into practice. In our lives, we are also to pray that God would not lay this to their charge. And pray for those who have been spiteful to us, who have used us, who have abused us, who have done wrong to us. We are to hand them to God and pray for his mercy upon us. That is Christ-like love. And as saints who have been brought into the Holy Church and grafted into the body of Christ, that is now our great high calling, to bring his love into the world in this way. So this morning, let's do a spiritual exercise. We'll put this into practice. We'll call it Give Up a Grudge Sunday. And on that piece of paper that you have, I'd like you to write down the name of anybody that has come to mind as someone that needs your forgiveness, that you need to release to God to do justice, and that may need your prayers for mercy. This is a person that you're not going to get back even with. You're going to give up your right to get even this morning with that person. And give that person to God. He's going to deal with them according to perfect justice, which he will never be able to, but God can. So write their name on that. It may be a fresh insult. It may be an old one. You know, as I get older, I start getting a little bit wiser, and I think back on my youth and go, wow, that was really bad what that person did to me. I didn't realize it until now. If I knew then what I know now, it would have been a different life, I'll tell you that. So maybe you come to that little day where you're looking back, or maybe the Holy Spirit's brought it back to mind, and now it's time to kind of clean out that closet, let go of that hurt, or let God minister that hurt by letting go of that person. Now think about somebody that may have betrayed you, somebody that may have used you, somebody that may have been spiteful toward you, that lied to you, that took advantage of you. And now it's time to let God be their judge. So let's first pray, and like the disciples cried out to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Let us start this exercise with that kind of prayer and pray that God will give us grace to have forgiving hearts. So we'll pray together. The Lord be with you. And repeat after me and say,
Father in heaven,
please pour your forgiving love
into my heart.
And give me grace to forgive those
who
have offended me.
Through Christ our Lord.
Now, trusting in that supernatural grace and love, let us now hand these people to God and pray with me and say,
Father in heaven,
I release these people or this person to you to do justice. And please have mercy upon their soul. Now, forgiving from the heart is a conversation between us and God. How we deal with that person going forward is another matter. It requires a lot of wisdom to know how we would move forward with that person if there's time for reconciliation or maybe the time has not come. But to release them to God is the beginning point of that reconciliation. Maybe in this life we won't be reconciled to that person. There are some people that we don't come back into conversation with because they're too toxic, too evil. And they'll hurt us again. We don't need to be hurt again. So that's a matter for wisdom. But here, there is the release of that person to God to do justice. And now we pray for that person. We're not going to get back even with them. We've forsaken that right or that idea. Now we let God take care of them and bless them by his grace. Now, whatever names you may have put on this, you know, piece of paper, fold it over, and I want you to bring it with you to the altar when you come up for communion. Now, we're going to pass the plate in a minute. That's different. That's for money. This is different. Hold on to this and bring it with you to the altar. And I'll ask Darius to run another collection plate ahead of me. You can put this in that little basket as an offering up, and then receive love himself under the forms of bread and wine. And let us rejoice in this day, which is a day of liberation for us. For when we obey the commands of God, when we obey his commandment to forgive others their offenses, we ourselves receive our liberation. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.